And this just goes on about how we did it, how we did the time series adjustment. So time series is an econometric term for a process in econometrics, like a statistical term, where we try to work out what the price was in any particular year using an econometric technique. So this is where really the finance methodology was used. Okay. I'll just sum up now. I think I've only got two slides left. So that's what we did. We worked out what the contracts, what the interest rates were. They seemed quite reasonable. In the document I gave you as the pre-reading, it detailed the interest rates. We sort of worked out that the median interest rate was around 20%, which seems quite reasonable for Middle Ages, medieval times. We can find interest paid in other things that seem similar to that. So in a sense, what we found was quite sensible. But what there was with these wool contracts was lots of risks, what we call counterparty risks. That's what I talked about at the start when I talked about forward contracts. So there's lots and lots of risks in these contracts. And really, it's quite a good thing they were so risky, because this is why we know so much about them. Because they were so risky, they became legal cases, court cases. And that's where we got the evidence from. So I'm going in a circle now. So it's a good time, a good thing that they were so risky. And that's how we found out so much about them. And as I said, on the abbot's side, the risk was they couldn't deliver because they sold it to more than one person. But the other problem was a disease. There was a lot of disease in wool at this time, and sometimes they couldn't deliver just because they didn't have the stocks. All their stocks had died, and then they were in trouble, and then there'd be a court case about that. On the merchant side, there was lots and lots of risks, because a monastery could default by selling to someone else, or a monastery could lose their stock of wool. Sometimes monasteries might even become bankrupt, much as they do today, you know, as a company might do today. And once a company's bankrupt, you can't get any money out of them. So the risk of the merchants is very great. What I'd say is surprising is that you find the merchants entering into the same agreement with monastery year after year after year, even if they do default. And what it says to me is the deal the merchants were getting must have been so good, they're willing to take this risk year on year. Okay, so they must have been getting a really good deal. So just to conclude, what we've demonstrated is that these contracts show, I think, that these forward and hidden loans show that a sophisticated financial instrument were used in Europe, in medieval England, and medieval Europe as a whole. These were, you know, cross-border transactions. And we're able to see a range of interest rates being paid between 10% and 40%, but a median rate of around 20%. When you find the really high interest rates of 40%, it's because a contract may have been previously defaulted upon, and the merchants really are getting more for their money. And this may be a bit of a leap, but I would try to say, because of what we've found, and hopefully what I've shown today, is that in the Middle Ages, rather than thinking this of a feudal society, I don't know if you really know, I'm not going to go into what a feudal society is, but it's where someone provides services and doesn't really get paid for it. You know, they might get some land or something else. A feudal society is what we're all taught at school existed in the Middle Ages. Perhaps it wasn't a feudal society. Perhaps there's a dynamic market economy at work in medieval Europe, which is totally different to what we're probably taught at school. You know, we're taught that we decided, you know, we invented capitalism in the 20th century, 19th, 20th century, and we developed a market more recently, you know, a dynamic market economy. But perhaps this has been going on forever. Perhaps there's always been a market economy. And the old ideas about feudalism aren't as simple as they can. And just then that we also can show that they use modern techniques to solve their cash flow problems. Okay. So what next? Colin was saying about I had £500,000. Well, I've just got some more money, Colin, unfortunately. Only 340,000 this time. And we're going to look at credit finance in the Middle Ages. Loans to the English crown from 1272 to 1340. So what this is really loans to Edward I, etc., that I was talking about earlier, where he's actually borrowing lots of money on credit from Italian merchants. But that's going to take us another 3 years. So in 3 years' time, I'll give you a talk on that. Okay, thank you very much.